And this morning, we're going to be in Genesis 21. We're just going to look at the first 8 verses this morning. It goes right along with what God has already been speaking to us about, the sanctity of life, the miracle of children, the blessings of God in our lives, and the great ministry of the pregnancy center and the stand that they take in our culture and in our day and time for life, and the blessing that they are to children and to the parents of those children. And what a privilege we have to join hands with them in prayer and giving. But as we've been studying in Genesis and we've been following the life and faith and walk of Abraham and Sarah, we come to Genesis chapter 21 this morning, the first 8 verses. Here's what God's Word tells us. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, why, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. This morning we see in our text the miracle birth and child that God blessed Abraham and Sarah with. And this morning we need to recognize every child is a miracle of God. Every child conceived is a miracle of God. Every child born is a miracle baby. Our nation and our culture is in such a desperate, desperate need to acknowledge and understand that truth again. The miracle of life, the miracle of children. And so let's pray and let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning about Abraham and Sarah's miracle baby, Isaac. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's truly a joy and a blessing and a privilege to be in your house with your people to worship you today. God, we're thankful for the privilege that we have of opening our Bibles, of reading your word and having the God of heaven speak to our hearts. Lord, we pray you'd remove every hindering force of the world, the flesh, and the devil from this place today. Cleanse our hearts, clear our minds. Help us to be still, to know that you're God and to hear you speak. God, remind us from your word of the miracle of life and the blessing that comes to us through the miracle of children that are born into this world. Father, as a messenger, I pray you'd hide me behind the cross. Fill me with your spirit. Free me to preach what thus saith the word of God today with clarity, with compassion, with courage, with the anointing, the presence of the Holy Spirit of God upon my life. Guard my tongue and lips from anything untrue, impure. God, may you be glorified. May you be exalted here today. May we be encouraged and strengthened through your word. And God, as always, if there's one here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, may today be the day that they are born again into the family of God, to that abundant and meaningful and eternal life that comes to us by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we'll be careful as always to give you the praise, the honor, and glory for all that you accomplish and all that you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning in our text, after 25 years of following God out of that land of idolatry into the land of Canaan, faithfully waiting and trusting and looking at the promises and the fulfillment of the promises of God, Abraham's faith was rewarded. Isaac was born. It was no doubt an amazing day for them, a red letter day, a day of that was filled with joy in the birth of a child, a miracle child born into their home and family. Think about what that day must have been like for Abraham. I can imagine the angels in heaven looking down and smiling upon an old man, 100 years old, skipping around like a 5-year-old child, popping in and out of his tent, laughing, greeting folks, embracing folks, rejoicing in the birth of a son. He had had a son, Abram's son, Sarah's son, God's son. What a joy and what a blessing. It was a miracle baby that was born in their house. Think about what that must have meant for Sarah. For all of her married life, she was barren and unable to have a child. And the stigma that went along with that in the days and times and culture in which she lived. Every time someone mentioned Abraham's name or spoke and called Abraham by name, they probably had a little smirk on their face. Abraham means the father of a multitude, and Abraham is only the father of one son, a son by an Egyptian handmaid, a son by the name of Ishmael. But now her waiting, her burden has been lifted. She has been blessed with a child. She has born a child in the older years of her life. This is a miracle baby. Isaac was a miracle baby. His father, Abraham, 100 years old. His mother, Sarah, 90 years of age. Oh, Isaac's conception was no doubt a miracle of God. The birth of Isaac, he was a miracle baby. You know, most people today, we don't have to wait 25 years or so to have a child when we get married. And certainly we don't see any babies born to 100-year-old parents in the days and times in which we live. But every child conceived is a miracle of God. Every baby born into this world with a gift of life by God is a miracle of God. Psalms 127 verse 3 says this, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Every child conceived is a miracle, a creation of God, a unique creation of God. Every child born is a gift of God, is a blessing of God. When man and woman come together in marriage and unite together, and the divine spark of life in procreation from God, a new human being is brought to life and to existence. They are a miracle of God. They are a miracle from God. And think about it this morning. As they held that miracle baby in their hands, think about how much or what all Isaac spoke to them and taught them about the God who had blessed them with this miracle baby. When these babies and children are born into our lives, they have much to teach us about the God who blessed us with children or blessed them with the miracle of life. And so I just want you to notice in these 8 verses of our text this morning what that miracle baby taught Abraham and Sarah about God and how miracle babies, the blessings of God today, how they speak to us and teach us these same truths. Notice first of all what Isaac's birth had to teach them about the promises of God. In verse 1 and verse 2, it says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him." Do you remember the first line we ever read and learned of Sarah, Abraham's wife, back in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 30? It says there that Sarah was barren. She had no child. But now in chapter 21 and verse 1 and 2, the Lord had visited her as he had said. The Lord did unto her as he had spoken. She conceived and she bare Abraham a son at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Folks, do you notice three times in two verses we are reminded that what happened to Sarah was according to the promises of God. In other words, God is saying, I told you so. One of the greatest truths that we need to learn, that we have to learn in our walk of faith, in the life of faith, is this glorious truth seen here in our text this morning, folks. God keeps His promises. God is a God of His Word. He keeps His promises. He can be trusted. When God had come to Abraham and God had promised Abraham in chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, I'm going to make of you a great nation and bless the world. And over throughout those chapters, God had come to Abraham and he had promised him, your descendants will inherit this promised land. They will be numerous in those chapters. He promised him they will be like the dust of the earth. They'll be like the stars of the heaven. He promised that he would be the father of a promised seed in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 4. He come and promised Sarah and told Abraham that Sarah, his wife, would be the mother of this son, this son of inheritance who would become a great nation. Folks, the birth of Isaac teaches us that God is a God who keeps his promises. His word can be trusted. And when he fulfills his promises, it's always in his way and it's always according to his time. It was in that set time that he had spoken, that he had promised, that Isaac was born. Abraham and Sarah, they had to wait 25 years. And that was a long time according to their calendar, waiting to have a child and waiting to be blessed with the fulfillment of that promise. But God was at work teaching them and growing them and maturing them in their faith. You see, when you trust God and the promises of God, you not only eventually are blessed with the fulfillment of those promises, but there's something that you're blessed with along the way. You're strengthened along the way. You learn and grow in your faith, in your trust of God. It's kind of like those Olympic athletes. Oh, they discipline themselves. They train. They're looking for that great event on that day of the Olympics. But look at all that they gain along the way. The discipline, the health, the stamina, the strength that they are blessed with because they're preparing. That's the same thing that we see in Abraham and Sarah's life. We've been journeying following them in these chapters. And for these 25 years, there have been ups and downs. There have been good times and bad times. But through it all, God has been at work strengthening their faith, helping them to grow in their godliness. Oh yes, last week we saw them fall back into an old habit of sin. But for the most part, their life was a life of faith and godliness and seeking God and growing in the grace and knowledge of God, learning that the Word of God can be trusted. And so just as God had promised, at the set time He had promised that child would be born, that child was born unto them. And folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that not only can we trust the promises of God and the promises of God for children that are seen here, but the God who is able to keep His Word and can be trusted to keep His Word is a God that we can trust to protect, to provide, to care for us and for our children and for our families all along the way. See, they learn you can trust the promises of God, and they also learn that they could trust God to protect and to provide for their child, their miracle baby, and that's exactly what God does. Listen, we're living in a day and time where mothers and families, they're concerned about their pregnancy. They find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy. They find themselves in a crisis pregnancy. But I want to thank God today for ministries like the Low Country Pregnancy Center that are forever declaring to those moms and those dads that the God who has provided the miracle of life and the blessing of children is a God who keeps His word, and you can trust the promises of His word. You can trust Him to provide for you, for that baby. You can trust Him to protect that baby and that child. You can look to Him, to the promises of God, to know He's a God of His word, and His word can be trusted. When God blesses us with children, there's a fear that comes upon our hearts. But folks, isn't it wonderful to know the God who's blessed us with those miracle babies? We can trust Him and His word for their protection, for their provision. Not just physically, but spiritually in a world of darkness and deception. Oh, but I want you to see something else here in our text. The birth of Isaac, it also had something to teach them about the power of God in their life. Look what it tells us in verse 3. It says, "And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac." Verse 5. "And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him." And verse 7. "And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age." You know, one of the reasons God made them wait so long for that child was because He wanted them to experience in a greater way the power and the glory and the grace of God. God wanted Abraham and Sarah to be as good as dead, the Bible tells us in the New Testament. Why? So that the birth of their baby and child would not just be a marvel of human nature, but that it would be recognized for what it was, a miracle of God, a gift of God, a blessing of God. Abraham, 100 years old, Sarah, 90 years old. Guess what, folks? They experienced the miracle of God's resurrection power in their life. They believed in the promises, and the power of God was unleashed in their lives because they believed in that promise. Sarah's not just 90 years old when she bears this child, but she's able to nurse this child for 3 to 5 years. That's how long they nursed their children in those days. So we have a 90-year-old woman. She doesn't just have a child. She nurses this child. This is a miracle of the resurrection power of God. Abraham's 100 years old. He has fathered this child. That in itself is a miracle of the resurrection power of God. But folks, after Sarah dies, the word of God tells us he takes another wife and he fathers 6 more children after that. That, my friends, is a miracle of the resurrection power of God at work in their life. How did they experience it? How was it unleashed? They believed in the promises of God. They looked to God. Luke chapter 1 verse 37 tells us, "With God, nothing is impossible." Oh, they experienced a miracle of God. And folks, just like Abraham and Sarah could have never given birth to that child apart from the power of God, I've got news for you this morning. None of us could ever be saved apart from the power of God. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Paul says, is the power of God unto salvation. The Bible tells us in John 1 verse 12, "As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Folks, when we see the power of God at work in the miracle of a little baby born into a home or into our lives, folks, it is a testimony to us of the miracle power of the gospel and salvation that births us into the family of God and makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the Low Country Pregnancy Center, that as they stand there to minister to those abortion-minded women, that they're also there standing ready to share the love of Christ and to share the good news of the gospel. And thank God not just for the hundreds of babies that saved every year, but thank God for the moms and dads that are born into the family of God through the power of the gospel that is unleashed when a person hears and believes and receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. No greater way to invest your money. No greater way to invest your prayer and your time in ministries like this. And as the people of God, no greater way to make a difference in our culture and in our world today than by sharing the gospel and seeing people believe and be saved by the power of God. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Because, folks, with God, nothing is impossible. Notice something else this morning. That little miracle baby also had something to teach them about the purposes of God. Look in verse 3 again. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Verse 4. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Verse 8. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. See, this miracle baby also taught them much about the purposes of God. See, there was a purpose of God for that baby, that little boy, Isaac. There was also a purpose for his parents, Abraham and Sarah. And every child born in this world, when they're accepted as a gift of God and the miracle of life and the miracle of God, they can teach us about the fact that God has a purpose for every life, for every child that is conceived, for every baby that is born into this world. Folks, the future redemption of a lost world rested with this little baby boy, Isaac. Isaac will be the father of Jacob. Jacob will father 12 sons, and they will become the 12 tribes of Israel. And it's from those tribes, from that nation, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, will be born into this world to be the Savior of sinners, folks. Folks, whenever God wants to change the world, He sends a baby to do it. Isaac was just one of those little babies. Jesus Christ is that miracle baby that was sent to save this world. And when God wants to change our world, He'll send a baby into that world to make that difference in our life and to make a difference in the world. Every child has a purpose from God. And folks, I'll just go on out and say it just flat, as plain as it can be. Even children conceived by rape and incest, folks, they are still miracles of God. God still has a purpose in their life, and it's amazing how God can turn ashes into beauty, how God can turn joy into mourning, how God can use a baby conceived in such a way to be the gift and the blessing and the source of healing and joy to that mom and to everyone else that's been affected by that sin. Praise God, our God is a God who has a purpose for every life that is created and conceived in the womb of their mother. God has a purpose for every parent. We see that in our text. It's so clear. The Word of God tells us when God blesses us with children, we have a responsibility to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And in order for us to do that, folks, there's two things. We have got to depend upon the Lord for the spiritual welfare of that child. We cannot do it in our own strength. But we've also got to be used of the Lord to disciple that child, to help develop that child, to teach that child the ways of God, to trust in God and the promises of God and look to God. And that's exactly what we see in Abraham and Sarah's life. Notice what it tells us there. Abraham circumcised Isaac when he was 8 days old. You know why he did that? Because God commanded him to do that. Because God told him that circumcision was a sign of the covenant. What was Abraham saying? I mean, Abraham has just had an answered prayer, a miracle baby at 100 years of age. Do you think 8 days later he really wanted to just go take the knife to his son and to cause pain and to inflict harm? I mean, it'd been so much easier for him to just spend that day praising God and thanking God for answered prayer. But you know what Abraham was saying on that day? The God who blessed me and provided this miracle baby is the God I must continue to depend upon for his spiritual welfare. And I'm going to do everything God has commanded me to do so that God might use me and through me and my wife work in the life of this child to bring this child to his own knowledge of the true God of heaven and faith in Christ Jesus. And so he was dependent upon God, just like you and I, folks. We can't save our children. We must depend upon God to save our children. Oh, but we must do all that we can to teach them the ways of God and the ways of righteousness and the promises of God, and that God can be trusted. And I believe we see a picture of that, an illustration of that in verse 8. Isaac was weaned. He was probably 3, possibly even close to 5 years old, because that's how long that weaning process occurred back in those days. And Abraham makes a great feast. You know why there's a great feast on that day? Because Abraham wants to know, wants the world to know and everyone connected to him that my son is no longer on milk. He's ready for meat. He's ready to eat. Folks, that can be, there's no greater illustration than the miracle of a child born into the family of God. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But folks, when you're born into the family of God and you begin to take the milk of God's word, as you begin to grow in your faith, as you're discipled, as you're developing spiritually, there comes that time where you have to move from the milk of the word to the meat of the word. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says this, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Folks, just as it was a joyous day when Isaac was weaned and he left milk for the meat, I'm here to tell you there's no greater joy than seeing a person born into the family of God, and the only thing that's as likened unto it and maybe just a little bit greater than it is when that person moves from the milk of the Word of God to the meat of God's Word, discerning good from evil, discerning what it means to live for God and to glorify God in their lives and in their homes and families. No greater joy than to see men and women of God growing in their faith, growing in their faithfulness, seeing their families working in for the Lord and seeing God blessing and working in their life. Praise God for the purposes that God has for us. And just as Abraham and Sarah took that son, that gift, and they taught him the promises of God and taught him the ways of God, depending upon God, God worked in his life. Folks, thank God for the Low Country Pregnancy Center. Did you hear it? That not only seeks to save babies and share the gospel, but also offers parenting classes for moms and for dads and teaches them about their responsibilities, how to take that child, how to provide for that child, how to care for that child, how to help that child come to know God and come to saving faith in God. See, every miracle baby that's born has a lot to teach us about the purposes of God for them and for us. But finally, I want you to see another great thing this miracle baby taught Abraham and Sarah. It is not just the promises of God, the power of God, the purposes of God, but he had something to teach them about the praise of God. Look again in verse 3. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Verse 6. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Their little baby Isaac taught them much about the praise of God. You know what the name Isaac means? He laughs. It means laughter. You realize every time they called their boy by name, they were minded of the joy that God brought into their life with this miracle son. They were also reminded about how they laughed at the promises of God. You remember when Abraham was told by God, finally, specifically in chapter 17, God told Abraham, your wife Sarah is going to bear this child to you. You remember how there was this laugh of amazement, this laugh of joy? God will give me and my wife in these years, these latter years, this miracle baby. It was a laugh of amazement. You remember Sarah's laugh when she was in the tent listening in on the conversation between Abraham and the angel of the Lord and those that were guests there at their tent, and she heard that promise made that Sarah, in this time next year, is going to give birth to a son. You remember her laughing? Does he know how old I am? It was a laugh of unbelief. But folks, look at her now. She's got a baby name laughter. She's laughing with joy. And it's not just her laughing, but her and Abraham's laughing. And everybody else that hears about it in the location where they're at, everybody's laughing. Why? Because God has blessed them with a miracle baby. And there's laughter and there's joy. Folks, a little precious baby is one of the great things God uses sometimes to teach us how to praise God and how to rejoice in God and who He is. Folks, this miracle baby, think about it. It brought Sarah from the laughter of unbelief to the laughter of joy and praise and worship unto God. As I thought about that this past week, I was reminded of how many times over the years of ministry that I have seen a young man and woman in their home and marriage really not caring that much for the things of God, but you let that child be born into that home, and all of a sudden they're holding this miracle, this gift of God. And as that child begins to grow, how God so many times has used that to open their eyes to this responsibility that they have for this soul, for this life, and how God would use that to quicken within them a desire to know God, to serve God, to worship God, to bring their child to the house of God where they can know the Word of God, where they can know God, where they can repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It's such a blessing sometimes to see how God can use babies to get some people in church that nobody else has been able to get in church because of what God has done and because of the discernment in their life to realize, oh, there's more than just my soul at stake now. There's this precious little miracle of life that God has created and blessed me with, and the direction and discernment in my life will make a difference in the direction and discernment of that child's life. Folks, motherhood, it should be highly esteemed. The birth of a baby should be welcomed with joy. It is one of the greatest ways we can truly praise God and joy and worship the God of creation, the God of life and salvation. Now I know God doesn't call all women to be married, and God doesn't call all married women to have children. But His Word does tell us there's a special concern for mothers, for children, Psalms 139 speaks about the miracle of life and God at work in the womb, as Miss Joy has already shared with us this morning. We live in a selfish society today. We live where people see motherhood as a barrier to their plans, to their aspirations. They see children or carrying children or having children as a burden. In fact, they consider it such a burden that they would follow the lies and the deception of the culture in which we live in today to the point of literally discarding that baby in the womb in abortion. Folks, the womb of the mother is a holy of holies where God is at work fashioning His masterpiece. And how sad it is that we turn it into a tomb, a place where many precious gifts of God are thrown away by the Holocaust of abortion. Thank God for the Low Country Pregnancy Center, who stands between that abortion clinic and those abortion-minded moms and fathers to share with them about the miracle of God, the miracle of life, the blessing that comes to those who choose life and experience the great joy of worshiping God, knowing God, praising God. God. You see, as a mom and as a dad, what you do will either help or hinder the saving work of God in the life of your child. And that child is one of the greatest sources of joy and worship and praise to God. Abraham and Sarah's miracle baby had much to teach them about the God who blessed them with the gift of life and with a child. And I'm here to tell you this morning, those miracle babies God brings into our lives and to our homes, they have much to teach us about the promises of God, the power of God, the purposes of God, and the praise of God. God blessed me with three children. They're all grown. But I've had a miracle baby in my home for a couple months now. I've got my first little grandbaby, little Analia. And every day I get up and I go and I look into the crib or look into the swing or look into the bed with her mama, wherever she finally decided she was going to sleep for the night. And I look into the face of this beautiful little baby girl. And if she's awake, she smiles. It's hard to believe looking at my face, but she smiles. And she makes me laugh. Because every day I can look at the miracle of life and rejoice and praise and worship of a God who creates life and gives us life. And every day she makes me laugh as I see the new things that she tries to do and is learning to do. Every day she makes me laugh in the midst of a world and a nation and a culture that is so spiritually dark. In the midst of all the terror and all the turmoil and all the violence and all the crime and all the division and all of these things that were going on in life. But I can look at this miracle baby and she makes me laugh. She causes me to praise God, to worship God. I'm reminded of the promises of God and how just as God promises us and gives us the gift of life, He's also the God who will protect and keep His word, and His will and purposes will be performed in her life even after I'm already gone from this world. She teaches me much about the power of God, the power of God that brings this baby, this new creation, this life into the world is the same power of God that transforms a sinner into a saint. The same power of God that just changed my life 30-something years ago when I come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And this little baby has much to teach me about the purposes of God. Not just for her life, but for my life, for her parents' life, for me as a grandfather. And so every day I pray, God, make me a better granddaddy than I was a daddy. Don't let me lose her to the world. She's a miracle baby. She's a miracle of God. And every child conceived is a miracle of God. Every child born in this world is a miracle baby, and every one of them is a picture of the new life that we have in Christ Jesus. The difference that Christ can make in the life of a sinner. Because on the cross of Calvary, He died for you and I. And by grace through faith and repentance, we can come to know Him and be born again. Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." If there's someone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, guess what? We could see a miracle baby born this morning. Won't you come? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the miracle babies and gifts of life that You have blessed us with. We thank You for the power of God and the gospel, the difference You make, not just in our life every day, but eternally. But Father, we pray that as Your people will be strengthened in our faith and in our walk this morning through Your Word, and that Father, if there's one that doesn't know You, that today they would come to know You and be born into Your family. And Father, we pray as the salt and light in this world that God, You would help us to share the truths with our actions and with our attitudes, the things that we have learned from Your grace in our life about Your promises, Your power, Your purposes. God, help us to truly lift our voice in praise. Because when You're lifted up, all men, women, boys, and girls are drawn unto You. And we thank You for what You accomplished through our worship. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, we invite you to come. This invitation is your opportunity to come. We're going to play some music softly. We're going to take this time and this opportunity to come. God's speaking to you this morning. You come. To come forward as we conclude our time in offering and giving. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the privilege to worship You today. We thank You for the miracle of life, the blessing of children. Father, we thank You for Your blessings in our lives this week and for the privilege that we have to give tithes and offerings. Thank You for the opportunity that You give us to give and to support, Lord, great ministries like the Low Country Pregnancy Center. God, we pray as you blessed in this past year for your continued blessings in this coming year, for protection, for provision. Father, that many babies will be saved, but Lord, that many moms and dads will also be born into your kingdom. Father, we just want to thank you for what you're going to do. Give you the glory, for we ask it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know